You're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News of Views. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Plenty to talk about. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, who does a fantastic job every weekend, whether it's every week, whether it's, you know, handling the show, talking to distressed callers, handling a distressed host, or picking out some great house music for us to listen to. Between the two of us, we always come up with something pretty good. I certainly enjoy it. And I have people say, hey, what was that house song you played? And sometimes I'll tell them, and sometimes I'll say, I gotta ask Kalia on that one. But the bottom line is, we really enjoy ourselves and have a good show, and hopefully the people that are listening do. I also always want to thank everybody, because when we're in fund drive, our listeners really come through. They contribute and help keep WPFW on the air, so thank you very much. And remember, you can always go to wpfwfm.org, WPFWFM.org. It doesn't have to only be during fund drive. Anytime you can go there and you can hit the donate button and you can help keep WPFW rolling. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate it. As, of course, another week goes by. Oh, by the way, a couple people asked me, what happened last week, Garland? You were sitting there talking at the end of the show, then you were gone. And I was like, well, I don't know how to admit it, but I got to tell the truth. I was sitting there and I'm doing all this talking about Hind Rajab, this little girl, and she got machine gunned by the Israelis. Next thing you know, I got all choked up. You know, I'm a tough guy. Like I said, I played a tough guy anyway. Got all choked up. I had to jump off the air because I didn't want my voice crackling on the air, because that's not a very manly sounding thing to do. And you can't be Joe Tough Guy and have your voice crackling on your air. But you can be Joe Tough Guy and admit that your voice would have been crackling on the air if you hadn't jumped off the air, because I'll put it to you like this. To speak of a child who was killed by machine gun fire deliberately, if that don't make your voice crack up, then you're not a human being. And unfortunately, we got a lot of people out here that I don't think are real close to being human beings anymore. Anyway, let's continue. So one of the things that happened over the week, the last week, was a guy by the name of Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Charlie Kirk was a right wing. I don't even know what to use the term anymore. People say influencer. I don't know. You know, he was a guy that was on YouTube in various places. He was 31 years old, married with two kids, and he talked all the right wing talking points. You know, I have, as I said, you know, for people that know my background, they know I was in law enforcement for, you know, many odd years. So trust me, I worked and knew a lot of right wing conservative people. Law enforcement is about, you know, 99%. I was like the one guy who was, I mean, there's people, it is. There's certainly some people there that were more lefty leaning kind of people, but not a whole lot. The predominant, the majority of a job like that is going to be, you know, right wing conservative people. Of course, then I was at Fox News for years, and the same way, I seem like I'm always around a bunch of conservative people for some reason. It's just, I don't know why. But at any rate, because I don't hate conservatives. I don't hate anybody. In fact, I enjoy the debate. I enjoy an intellectual discussion with people who don't disagree with me. And I don't have hate in my heart towards people in general. So, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'm not like, oh my God, a conservative MAGA person. I hate them. That's just not the way my mind works. I just don't have that in me. So at any rate, but. So Kirk, this guy, we don't know that much. A couple of things that I find, let me throw some tidbits out, some things that I find interesting. The first reaction from the right wingers and people who I feel like more likely, you know, government entity kind of people. And it was like this. And this is what I found weird, because, and this is suspicious. It started off like this. We don't know who killed him. So they didn't know who killed him. But then they all start saying, but the left did it. And the left has to be dealt with. But at the same time, they were saying the left is murderers. The left have to do this left, who I don't even know what the left means in the United States anymore. The so-called left, I consider myself a left, but other people that consider consider themselves left are the most warmongering, right-wing, pro-corporate people I've ever met in my life. If that's the left, I don't want no parts of it. But the bottom line is the left is the left, and they've got to be stopped. And I'm like, but you're admitting that you don't know who did it. Number one. So how can you say we got a crackdown on the left? We don't know who did it. I tell you what it reminds me of during COVID. It just simple deductive logic, or would it be inductive logic? Whatever the case, I remember during COVID, a guy named Damar Hamlin. Damar Hamlin was in the secondary for the Buffalo Bills. It was a Sunday night game. I'm watching the game, and the guy hit somebody, and then he stumbles around. You know, he was in a little scrum in the middle of the field, and then he's kind of standing there, and then he drops, and he stops breathing, right? And they had to work on him and all that. And I'm like, holy moly. Well, that was during COVID and the jab and everybody. So needless to say, that was a bit controversial. So the people who were thought maybe it was the jab started saying, it's the jab. We know it's the jab. Now, I saw these articles that were illogical because my position was, I don't know what caused it. I know he stopped breathing, but I don't know what caused it. I'm not going to say it's the jab. I'm not going to say I don't know what caused it. As I saw, we don't know what caused it, right? But I saw these articles, and these articles said, Damar Hamlin fell out last night, okay? And we don't know what it is. Correct. But we know it wasn't the jab. And I'm like, wait a minute. Deductive reasoning says that those two things are mutually exclusive. You can't say, I don't know what it is, but I know it's not X. Reasoning and logic says that's not the way it works. If you don't know what it is, you just don't know what it is. And I remember reading an article that says, we don't know what it is, but it ain't the jab. And I thought, you can't write that article. I don't care what you think of the jab or not the jab. You can't say, what did he die of? I have no idea what he died of, but it wasn't a gunshot. Well, then you at least have an idea. We know it wasn't a gunshot. But if you say, I don't know what he died of, but it wasn't poisoning, those two things are exclusive. So my point is, it's the same way here. We don't know who shot him, but we've got a crack on the left because they're violent. That didn't make no sense to me. That was the stupidest thing. And I just felt like you're just saying that because these are people that you don't like and you're looking for a reason to blame them for everything so you can deal with them. But that's America now. America, that's why I'm glad, I hate to sound like a broken record, that I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I have a friend of mine today, a good friend of mine, who is everything is Trump. Trump, Trump, Trump does everything. Everything that happens was Trump, right? He's telling me, yeah, this guy Charlie Kirk that died. I said, yeah, you know, terrible tragedy. You know, I don't agree with him, you know, politically on a lot of things. Maybe I can find something if I search that I could agree with him. But over and all, ideologically, he and I are on opposite sides of the fence. He goes, yeah, I think Trump did it. And I said to him, I'm not surprised. He said, why? I said, because I have yet to see anything that happened that you don't think Trump did it. He's like, no, but this time. I'm like, it's always this time. And here's what I know. I have friends and families like this. Everything that happened, they hate Trump. So Trump was behind it. Everything. But meanwhile, we got these Republican conservatives running around that as soon as somebody got shot, he's a conservative. That means the, quote, left did it. We've got these people running around who have lost all intellectual curiosity, shall we say. Any logical reasoning, it's just about boogeymen. I don't need to know. Something happened. Who did it? Trump. Something happened. Who did it? The left. This left that I don't know who it is. People who've lost, it can't be, I don't know who did it. I don't know the background. Now, what happens? We find out that some 22-year-old boy did it. We don't have a lot of information yet. I'm waiting to find out what happened. I'm waiting to get more information. It's like people got to jump out ahead of it. Now, first of all, I don't care. You can call me conspiracy theorist if you want to. I don't care because the term conspiracy theorist was invented. You know who came up with it? The CIA literally came up with that term. You know why they came up with that term? Because after the JFK assassination, people who started questioning whether the CIA or the government was involved, they called them conspiracy theorists. But we've found out overwhelming evidence that the government and the CIA was involved. But they did it to discredit people that were onto them. So now I'm like this. If you call somebody a conspiracy theorist, you're probably trying to discredit them and they might be onto something. But let's not use that term in a pejorative, in a derogatory, in a negative manner, because I'm always very suspicious of the government because history tells us they're always up to no good, right? So when it first happened, I'm like, huh, a shooter, lone shooter, sniper from a long distance. So right off the bat, me, I'm like, yeah, it sounds like CIA or Mossad or something like that. You know, I'm always suspicious of the government. Now, apparently what we know now, what we have been told, whether it's true or not, is that it was a 22-year-old boy from Utah near the area who shot him. So that's what we've been told. That's what we'll find out. We'll find out more. Now, what is going on? What is the big deal now? Well, apparently there were people online, because they hate conservatives or whatever, or don't like Charles, who were celebrating, yay, hooray, this is great, kill more of them. And I'm like, that is what the United States is devolving into. Cheerleading for assassinations. Cheerleading. Yay! Look, look, look. Let me start here on Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk has said many things that I wholeheartedly disagree with. He said many things that I would say, that's a bunch of crap. You know, that's right-wing talking points, garbage, in my, as far as my term. But he shouldn't be shot for it. I'm not going to cheer for the death of this man. Look, I will guarantee you that you can find people who will listen to my show and say, I hate what Garland says. And you know what I say? That's why I have let people call. That's why I encourage people. You know what? I'd love for you to call and tell me that I'm full of crap. To call and tell me I disagree with what you, Garland, that what you're saying is completely wrong. Great. I have a right to say things that I believe. As long as I'm honest and I'm telling, saying what I believe, I should be able to say it. As long as you're saying what you believe, you should be able to call and tell me that everything I say is a bunch of foolishness. Nobody should listen to me or should pay any attention to me. More power to you. But I shouldn't be shot for saying it, and you shouldn't be shot for saying it, and he shouldn't be shot for saying it, and we shouldn't cheer for the death of somebody because they're exercising their right to free speech. It is, here's the thing about the First Amendment, very specifically, that people forget. The First Amendment is specifically there to protect unpopular speech. That speech you don't like. But unpopular speech is the speech that the government wouldn't like. We don't need the First Amendment for you to stand on a corner and wave a flag and say, all is wonderful, the government's perfect. But if you want to stand on the corner and say the government's a bunch of liars and cheats or cheaters and thieves and criminals, like I tend to say, the First Amendment protects that. It's unpopular speech, unpopular with the powers that be, and you should be able to say that. The fact that Charlie Kirk says things that are unpopular to me, yeah, to some people they're popular. To me, they're completely unpopular, most everything he says, with the exception of a few things. But I could find anybody that would say something that I agree with. You know what I mean? My point is, I mean, Hitler might say it's sunny outside, and I might say, well, he is right. It's sunny outside. He's still Hitler, but it's sunny outside, right? The weather, he called the weather today. He's a terrible guy, but he called the weather. So the fact of the matter is, to me, this idea of cheering for the death of somebody. So what happens? So somebody gets mad and says, well, I don't like what this progressive, left-wing, Democrat, whatever, I don't even know who's who anymore in this country is saying. So guess what? We got to get revenge and go shoot them. And here's what happens. Working class people end up blowing their brains out, shooting at each other, beating the crap out of each other. And you know what? The ruling elite, the ruling class, the people up on Wall Street, ain't nobody beating them because they're behind the walls of their mansion because they got security. They ain't nobody beating them. So they're sitting there watching TV, watching the working class people beat and shoot themselves to death. They're watching us abuse ourselves because we disagree. But you know what? The ruling elite don't disagree. They got some factions where they may disagree on how to abuse us next, how to take every dime we got and leave us in poverty, how to start another war to throw our children into the battlefront so they can be torn to shreds by shrapnel. They'll argue over which war to start next, but they ain't doing that for us and don't care. And they ain't grieving our deaths. Let me say this about, and I've made this point about myself. Okay, Charlie Kirk is 31 and he's saying things that I disagree with. That doesn't mean that when Charlie Kirk turns 41 that he'll continue to. People change. He could change. He could learn something. He could say, you know, when I was younger, you know, I'll put it like this. As I said, I used to be at Fox. And a person who I disagree with about a lot of things, and I can find some things I disagree with him, I can agree with him on, but a lot of, you know, ideologically, I disagree with him on a lot of things, is Tucker Carlson. But I'm going to tell you this, I met Tucker Carlson, and I was around him some, and he's a very nice person. I disagree with him ideology. He's a nice, friendly person. And if you're around him, you'll say, yeah, he seems like a pretty nice guy. So the fact that you disagree with somebody don't mean that they're an evil, hateful person. You may be around that person and say, you know what? I don't agree with this guy, but he's all right. You know, he's crazy about this or that, but as far as our guy, he's all right. You don't know. You might have said that about Charlie Kirk, but you disagree with him and he said things you don't like. Okay. Okay. But when we get to the point where we're shooting each other and cheering on the death of people who say things we don't like, they're evil. I disagree with that because let me tell you why. Because that's no longer about Charlie Kirk. That's about what's in your heart. That's about what you have the capacity to do. Have you ever heard the term venting? Venting kind of works like this. If you cut open an apple and squeeze it, what you're going to get? Apple juice. If you cut open an orange and squeeze that orange, what's coming out? Orange juice. Why is that? Because the only thing that can come out of that orange or that apple is what's inside of it. You'll never squeeze an orange and have apple juice come out, will you? Because the only thing that comes out is what's inside. The term venting is letting anger out. You ever know anybody that was always pissed off, fussing at people, and they always blame the other person? They always argue, blah, 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 blah. And the person says, why are you always fussing? You made me fuss. They're always angry, but it's everybody else's fault. Their boss made them fuss. Their girlfriend made them fuss. Their son made them fuss. Everybody made them fuss. Everybody made them yell. They will never take accountability for their anger, but they're venting. What does venting mean? Venting means something is inside of you and it comes out. Venting is what's inside of you comes out. And if anger is inside of you, anger comes out of you. If love is inside of you, love comes out of you. Because ultimately, the only thing that comes out of an orange when you squeeze that orange is orange juice. You will never get anything that comes out of it that ain't inside of it first. So always remember the way you act towards other people, the way you think towards other people. What comes out of you is what's inside of you. It ain't nobody's fault but your own. Nobody, people, you know what? People can make you furious, but you may, that don't mean you're mad enough to kill them. Excuse me, you may be mad enough to kill them, but you'll say, I would never hurt nobody because I don't have it in, you've heard people say this, if you kill somebody, I don't have it inside of them. And what we all do, you know what I mean? If you ask a woman, if somebody messed with her child, she'll kill them. Won't even blink, right? So my point is, we all have it, but I'm just saying, people will say, no, I don't have that inside of me to do that. What they're saying is, they recognize that the only thing that can come out of you is what's inside of you. If you're angry all the time, it's because you're full of anger and you're blaming everybody else because you're venting all your anger on them. You're crabby all the time is because what's inside of you is crabbiness. If you have love inside of you, that's what's going to come out. And if you see other people, somebody getting shot down and murdered in the prime of their life just because you disagree with them and you're happy and you're joyous and you're, why? Well, because I don't like what he said or what he did. Has nothing to do with Charlie Kirk. He's dead. He's gone. Has nothing to do with what he said or what he didn't say. Has to do with what's inside of you. Like forgiveness. Right? Do you have forgiveness in you? What is forgiveness? Somebody does something to you that angers you. And then that person goes on about their business. They don't even know you're mad at them anymore. It doesn't hurt them. You're carrying resentments, you notice, and which kills you, which lowers your immune system, which gives you sickness and illness and cancer because you've carrying resentments. You know, I've heard this said, you know, the act of carrying resentment is like poisoning yourself and waiting for somebody else to die. You're carrying the poison inside of you of resentment, of anger to your mother, your father, your friend, the person that did this to you when you were a child, something that happened 50 years ago, and you're carrying that resentment. That person's long dead, and you're poisoning yourself with that resentment. Because you're concerned with what happened outside of you, not understanding that the only thing that matters is what's inside of you. And those resentments are coming out in the way you treat other people. And oftentimes the way you treat yourself, you're treating yourself bad. You're sabotaging your relationships. Things aren't working out for you because you're loaded with resentment for something that happened 50 years ago, where if you would let it go, if you would get rid of that poison, you'd be better off today. So if you're like, yay, I'm celebrating Charlie Kirk, hooray, kill more people. And you call yourself a progressive or lefty. You know what? In the 60s, the lefties had it right. Right? Because what did the 60s, when things were changing, what did they say? Peace and love. Not peace. Peace and love. Yes. What is peace? Just the absence of a war is not peace. We don't have a war going on right now. Well, if you ain't got a war going on, you're just between wars. Right? But if you have peace, then peace is something that's active. Peace is something that you've now put inside of you where you don't want to fight and you don't want war anymore, where you've got peace inside of you. People are searching for peace. I'm looking for peace in my life. You're looking. That's like looking for the back of your neck. I'm looking for happiness. That's like looking for the back of your neck. You carry it with you everywhere you go and you're looking around for it. Peace is not something you find. Peace is something you be. If you want the world to be full of peace, there's only one way to get it. There's only one thing you can contribute to a peaceful world. You know what that is? I want the world to be peaceful. What can I do? Be peaceful. The way to peace is to be peaceful. The only thing you can control is yourself. You be peaceful. I want a more peaceful world. I'm going to be more peaceful. I want a loving world. I'm going to be more loving. The way you act, the way you see the world. Once you become, you know, there's an old saying, I think it was Wayne Dyer said, this guy, he lived in Tampa. And this guy moved to Tampa. And the guy walked up to him and said, you know, I come from, you know, wherever, Indianapolis. He says, what are people like here in Tampa? And Wayne said, I ask him, what are the people like in Indianapolis? He says, they're mostly pretty nice. He says, I think you'll find that's the way the people are here in Tampa. Said another guy, asked him, what are the people like in Tampa? He says, well, what are people like where you come from? I'm from New York. The people are crabby. You can't trust them. They get pain in the neck. He told him, you know, I think you'll pretty much find that's what the people are like here in Tampa. What was he saying to the person? A loving person sees a loving world. A peaceful person sees a peaceful world. A thief sees a world in which everyone is waiting to rob him. Because we project onto the world what's inside of us. Think of your eyes like a projector. What's going on inside of you is projected out into the world on everybody else. Haven't you ever known people that don't trust nobody? Thinks everybody's out to get them. Everybody's out to do them dirty. Everybody's lying to them. Everybody's doing this and that. That's a person you can't trust. Why? Because they are projecting the way they are. Deep down inside, they know they're not trustworthy. And therefore, they feel that everybody in the world is just like them. And so they have no trust because they're not trustworthy. And the sad thing, sometimes a person who's extremely trustworthy might get taken advantage of sometimes because they got to learn that everybody ain't as trustworthy as them. Sometimes it's a little harder for them to learn that. They got to bump their head a few times to learn. So my whole thing about that is this whole Charlie Kirk thing, your reaction to the death of Charlie Kirk is not relevant to Charlie Kirk because you don't know Charlie Kirk. You never met Charlie Kirk. You would never meet Charlie Kirk. It is a reflection of what's inside of you. Your response to the stimuli in the world that's going on around you is always a reflection of what's going on inside of you, what's deep down inside of you. And if you are happy and celebrating because someone got murdered, someone got assassinated, that person's gone. He's not part of the conversation. That now reflects a darkness inside of you. That celebrates misery, that celebrates sadistic, you know what I mean? Sadism, the celebration, the happiness, deriving joy from misery of the others. You know what? I just can't see a world in which I can derive joy from the misery of others. You know, two little girls and a wife. I can think, disagree with Charlie Kirk. I'm supposed to say, yay, those two little girls are orphans. And look, I can say he supported Israel and that was terrible stuff. And I disagree with that. He said this or that about race and I disagree. Fine. I disagree with the things that he said. And I disagree with his views about many things. But who knows that that may change in the future? I don't know. Who knows what would have lied ahead of him in his life? I don't know. Would probably be better to find out than not, but I know I'm not going to celebrate it. Look, I've told this story before. Forgive me if you've heard it. I was, got out of high school, went to Anne Arundel Community College. I was playing, basketball was my world. That's all I thought of all the time was basketball. So I was playing on the, team. And I remember in practice, and I remember being in the locker room and, boys, we're 19 years old getting on each other's case, right? And one of the things that this is one of the things people say, you stupid, ha ha, you're a gay rights activist. That was supposed to be some kind of a, you're putting somebody down. You gay rights activist. That's what people were saying, right? A terrible thing to say. When I look back, I'm like, man, how horrible was that? To say such a thing. But here's the thing. I was 19. I didn't even really know what it meant. All I knew was other guys called somebody a gay rights activist, ha, ha, ha. And I called somebody a gay rights activist, ha, ha, ha. And I thought it was funny. In hindsight, if I'd have known what I was saying, it'd be like a black person in favor of racism against black folks. It was a terrible thing. But here's the thing. I wouldn't want somebody to shoot me for that. As wrong as I was, probably deserved to be shot. But my point being, but when I learned later on that, well, wait a minute, Garland, that wouldn't be something to be a bad thing. That would be a positive thing. I would say there was a point in my life when I would say what I would say. And now if somebody asked me, are you an activist for the rights of gay people? I'd say absolutely. Everybody should have the same expectation of rights. I'm an expectation for rights for every single person, and absolutely that includes gay. So if you call me a gay rights activist, I'll say, yeah, that's good. I'm down with that. That's a very good description of me. But at the time, I didn't even really know what the thing meant. So what I have wanted, at 19, somebody might have said, we should shoot Garland. He's an anti-gay idiot. And maybe so. But I'm glad they didn't, because I would have learned later that that was a stupid thing and that I was a mindless child who didn't know what I was talking about. I grew up. Maybe Charlie Kirk would have grown up. Maybe he wouldn't have grown up. But he's 31, and I just don't think people should be celebrating, hooray, somebody 31 got shot. Even if they said things you disagree with, they had a chance in the future to grow up and learn. I've grown up and learned and changed with things. Maybe he would have too. It would have been nice to know, but I just don't see that we should have it in our hearts when a person gets shot down to say, hooray, this is great, shoot down more folks. That's a sad state of America, of things in the United States right now. Sad state of affairs, intellectually, morally, spiritually, financially, ideologically. This country is just in complete collapse. 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name, where you're calling from? Oh, okay, that's okay. Well, good. We got time to call. But yeah, 202-588-0893. We got open lines. Feel free to call. And we lost a caller. Feel free to call back if you want to. But yeah, you know, I think we have to rethink it, because at some point you get to the point where people are advocating for violence for people that don't agree with them. And then you find, and you're in a place where you're in a country where there's political violence becomes rampant, and I don't want to be in that place. And it looks like we're kind of heading there. Anyway, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? WPFW. What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is T-Bird from Upper Marlboro. How you doing?
Talk to me, T-Bird. What's happening, brother?
Not too much. I disagree with you a little bit. I know nothing about Charlie Kirk, but I couldn't care less. What I resent is the fact that the news and the media here is taking attention away from people being murdered every day. Defenseless people who U.S. politicians say are into themselves. I hate that. I hate that fact that we have some clown in office who's going to use this to listen to us, to attack us and do some other things. And we don't have a media that will focus on real murder, such as the attempted murder of the Hamas leaders in a foreign country, such as the actual murders put forth on a country that we told we would negotiate with, the same thing as with Hamas. We have a country where some murders take a lot more, get a lot more attention than others. I have no idea who Charlie Kirk is. I've never heard him. I don't care to hear him. I heard that he made some remarks about the murders of Martin Luther King and some others that he didn't have that same reaction. He didn't talk about if what I heard, because I don't know. I'll be honest, but I don't. Growing up, when they blocked school segregation and some other things in some foreign country in the United States, if they had been shot, would I have been crying and saying they have a right to their view that some people were not as equal to as us, and some people deserved, or in Israel, some people deserve to have their land stolen and put in concentration camps and whatever. But instead of talking about these things, we're talking about some idiot who some other idiot is talking about, oh, the left did it. What is the left? There's rich and there's poor in this country, and the rich, I got the poor fighting against each other anyway. I don't care about somebody getting shot unless it's somebody who is actually pointing forth a rational point of view. And from what I hear about him, he did not put forth a rational point of view. I am sorry that he got shot. I am for nonviolence, but sometimes there's a time for violence. Sometimes there's a time for action. I cannot believe that Spain put forth a comprehensive nine-section thing against Israel, and it got no publicity in the United States. Belgium has also put forth a much lesser bit of sanctions against Israel. No thanks. They're killing children. And I'm supposed to care about that somebody who's calling for this violence and who supports this violence got shot by one of his people. Wasn't a black person who shot him. Wasn't a Palestinian. He got shot. He's for violence. He got shot. Am I upset about it? I don't know. Maybe if I had known him, I would have said, oh, his poor wife and kids or whatever, but I don't know him. But I do have a lot more emotion for a group that is suffering from the same segregation we had in this country, from worse segregation. I mean, they instead of water fountains, they hold water supplies. They send their troops in, and they're out to steal those people's land and kill them and put them away. I do not want people who don't mean anything to take up my time or take up the media's time when the actual worst event in history, one of the worst events in history, is going on.
You know, T-Bird, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I can't say that you said something that I disagreed with. The only comment I was making was that there are people online who are like being celebrated. Hooray, he died. I disagree with that. Everything else you said, for instance, 2023, 47,000 people died of gun-related injuries in the United States. 47,000 people, right? So let's just say it was 47,000 in this year, he'd be 47,001. I don't think we should celebrate any of those 47,000, including him. That's my point. My only point was for people that are like, yay, somebody got shot, somebody got killed, hooray, this, I disagree with that. All of the rest of it is really, I'm agreeing, T-Bird, is part of my point. We got all of these things going on. What about that energy that you're, oh, yes, this person died. You know what? As you said, we got a literal genocide going on right now. A literal genocide. And we're supposed to be hung up over fighting and trifling over what was said in the United States and who we got to be mad of because of what they said or what they didn't say when we have a literal genocide going on. You get the last word.
Okay, my last word is this. Maybe they have this because they're planning on coming down on us harder, maybe killing some of us and using this guy as a thing. But I still say the media is failing. The United States is failing. We may lose the entire Gulf because of our racism, because that's what it is. We got a racist, stupid person in charge of this country and racist, stupid people who think, oh, the country's going to be great again because he's going for force and he's going to make these people work for us or give us their resources and whatever. It's not going to happen. The United States is losing. Israel is losing. I think the United States is going to get kicked out of the Gulf pretty soon.
Well, I'll say this, T-Bird. While you say Donald Trump is a racist, stupid person, my opinion is I have never seen a more perfect president for the United States than Donald Trump. I have never seen anyone who represents exactly what I think of the United States government's policy, internally and externally, that we've been putting a bunch of people in there that tap dance around and smile and grin and wear a suit and pretend like they're the next guy. And the policies that they are executing is exactly what Donald Trump is. The only difference is Donald Trump is stupid enough to come out and say it. But if you look at what our policies, what we're doing around the world, whether it's Obama, whether it's Biden, whether it's Bush, the difference is Obama is good. He's great. He can say all these wonderful things and have a family and then bomb 7 countries and slaughter and murder people. That's the only difference to me is those that can sound nice while they do this murder and brutality and piracy and theft around the world. And Trump just ain't smart enough to sound nice while he does the same thing, T-Bird. That's the difference I see.
Maybe you're right.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. I mean, thanks a lot, T-Bird. All right. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
You're on.
Yeah. This is Andrew from Silver Spring.
Go ahead. I'm all ears. You're on the air.
So one thing that I think what I've been seeing is, one, the mainstream media has really played down, and they're also pandering to groups of all primarily other minority groups who are more conservative. And, you know, they touched on his Islamophobia. They've touched on his anti-gay, anti-trans. And they're not really mentioning how what a racist, anti-black person he was. That's one point. The other point is, I think what's been going on as far as this hate and war that's being fed and fueled is they're putting troops, they're putting aggressive, provocative groups into the cities and kind of doing nothing, and they're just waiting for somebody to act out and wait, and that will give them the excuse for the clampdown that's coming. Because all this stuff with the, you know, with ICE, with the National Guard coming out of the streets, it's nothing compared to what they're waiting to do. And all it's going to take, and they're just, it's like a bully pushing and pushing and pushing. At a certain point, you're going to push back. Somebody's going to push back. Somebody's going to get pissed off, and one of those troops, one of those guys' guards are going to get hurt or killed or worse, and that's going to be the one thing that they're waiting for. They're pushing, they're antagonizing, and there's a lot of passive-aggressive, even though it seems aggressive, it's not aggressive yet, agitation and provocation right now, and I have a feeling that what they want is to get a reaction, a violent reaction, and it's starting to come, regardless of who it's from on this side, it doesn't matter. It's a setup. Right now, I feel like the American populace is setting themselves up for an oncoming real martial law and real occupation, troops on the streets who will have any reason to shoot at American citizens. Right now,
all right. Let me throw a little different angle at you and see what you think. Here's a little different angle. Yeah. Here's what I think. We are on the edge of some kind of an economic collapse, and they know it. And they're like, man, when things go bad, when this economy crashes, when we did this economic collapse, people are going to be mad. There's going to be dissent. They're going to be in the field, in the streets. They're going to be saying, what happened to our 401k? What happened to our pensions? The bond market crashed. What happened to this? People are going to be pissed in the street and furious. And that's the crackdown that they know good and well that if you look at the economic indicators, they've been rolling this way for a while. They've been putting it off for years, and it's getting to the point where they can't put it off anymore. And now they're doing two things. You know what the corporation does now? The corporate thieves do when they go into a corporation. When they see that the corporation is going to crash, they steal the last few pennies. They steal everything out of it before it crashes. They're looking at the United States, our corporate banking, whatever corporate overlords are looking at the U.S. saying, this thing's getting ready to go down. Let's steal every dime out of it before it does. Number one. And number two, and when it does, we better have our army and our military out there to protect the ruling elite from the hordes and masses of people who say, what happened? We've been screwed. I think that's what it's about. Your comments.
So I agree with you about the economy, and we're all being blindsided right now. But I do think that right now what is going on is practice. It's training.
Yes.
It's getting everybody in place and in position. And you're right about the corporations, about the ruling elite. They don't mind if they're breeding division. And it's racism, white against black, black against white, and then everybody is forgotten in between. They don't care if we burn ourselves down. That's what they're looking for. And then on top of it, as we're beating each other, they're going to be there with a club, beating us further into submission. And that's what I think it's all about, is submission. You know, so that we also blaming, so that we can blame somebody else, each other, and we ignore those in top who are profiting off of all of this.
Yep, but I'm with you 100%. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Look, let me say this. They always got a scapegoat. Look, way back in the 80s, here's what they used to always blame. Welfare. We're going broke because of all these black people on welfare. Welfare was less than 1% of the budget, but it was the fault. They were spending all this money on everything but the people, but they blamed it on welfare. Then they did away with welfare. Well, guess what? You don't have the Negroes anymore. We need some new Negroes. Illegal immigrants. You got to blame it on immigrants. Now, the Democrats couldn't blame it on illegal immigrants because that wouldn't work if you're a Democrat. It's Putin. It's somebody else. They always got somebody for you to blame it on that's in another country. Remember this? During the Biden administration, literally, when prices started going up, the Biden administration said this, Putin's price hike. I'm like, really, do you think we're that dumb? Some of us really are. But the Republicans are going to tell us it's immigrants' fault, somebody who's the poorest people, who they, the rich people, use so they can pay them nothing for their labor and take advantage of them. They're going to say it's the immigrants' fault. The Democrats are going to say it's Putin's fault and he's 6,000 miles away in another country. Everybody's got an excuse. The ruling elite always has somebody to blame. And we just buy into it. I'm saying we're going to stop buying. They're trying to set us against each other. Anyway, we got more callers. Next caller. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. Are you there? Well, I guess that caller is gone. All right, then. We'll try another one. All right. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Andrew from Poolsville, Maryland.
Talk to me, Andrew.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, longtime fan, ever since the Sputnik days. And I just want to say that, man, the left is in disarray. It's sad.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up, Andrew. Are you in a bad spot? I think we're losing Andrew. Darn. Hey, look here, Andrew, if you can hear me, I think you hit a bad spot and we couldn't hear. So we got enough time for you to call back. You hey, Kalia, if Andrew calls back, move him right to the top so we can get him on because he was on there. I think he just hit a bad spot because it sounded like he drifted away. Andrew, call us right back. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Garland. This is Ingrid from D.C. Long time no see.
Ingrid, it's great to hear from you again. It's been a lot of years.
Yeah, I'm trying to adapt. I miss you every day on the radio.
Thank you. Thank you. What's happening, Ingrid?
Well, I'm trying to stop this genocide in Gaza. And I want to promote, there's an independent group, not any party, not any organization, that came up with some tools. It's at a website called stopgenocide.com. And when you go on there, there's buttons you can push. The first one is for a letter that people can send to their leaders. Now, this is about the Uniting for Peace resolution in the UN. And on that same page, up on the top right on the header, there's a FAQ button. And people can learn, if they want to, in depth what Uniting for Peace is, how the UN could actually stop Israel. But if you push the button, the red button, you go to the next page, which is the petition that people can send to their leaders. Now, I don't have a whole lot of hope for our leaders. And the point is, when this goes to the UN, all the countries, the 193 countries in the world, all get an equal vote. And we're trying to reach people worldwide. You could really help us here, because right on this page, as well as the letter, there's an X button where you could post right on your Twitter and try to get this going around worldwide, because we need people around the world to call their own governments and show that they are supporting strong action, not weak, silly, oh, Israel should do this, Israel should do that. No, they have the power in the General Assembly to do this resolution without any opportunity for the U.S. to veto. If they get 2/3 of the votes, they could put sanctions on Israel. They could put an arms blockade on Israel. They could even have a protective force. There's a precedent for this going back to 1956 in the Suez.
So the name of the website is stopgenocide.com, right?
That's right.
Stopgenocide.com. And I just brought it up, and there's things that you can do. There's a calls to action here. You can demand multilateral protections from the United Nations, and which I'll be there at the UN next week. So thank you very much. Certainly appreciate that. Everybody, go to stopgenocide.com and make sure you share stopgenocide.com on all your social media platforms. That is the issue of the day. That is the issue we should be concerning ourselves with. It's an unthinkable act of horror by our government and its proxy Israel, and we need to we need to all stand against this horrible evil act that's going on in our name. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Garland. Thomas in D.C.
Talk to me, Thomas.
Earlier today, there was a discussion about, you know, Charlie Kirk and on PFW, and invariably, speakers were talking about gun control and the need to rein in gun violence and all that. But It occurred to me that gun control kills black people. Gun control. If you said something about gun control to Ida B. Wells, who famously said a Winchester rifle has a place of honor above the hearth of every black home, if you mentioned gun control to Frederick Douglass or John Brown, they'd laugh at you because in the face of reaction, that is to disarm yourselves is foolhardy. And it occurred to me that one of the reasons the United States is so heavily violence prone is that, and I don't normally like this construction, but settler colonialism does characterize the United States just like it characterizes Israel today. The problem with the formulation of settler colonialism in general is that it is classless, and you don't see all the settlers are seen as of the same class, when we all know from the beginning of the settling of the United States there were plebeian revolts. There were slave revolts. There were plebeian revolts. Bacon's Rebellion.
The Whiskey Rebellion.
Yes, exactly.
All that stuff.
And so there was a class oppression from the very beginning. Of course, the ruling class, divided the working class by enslaving, Africans and genociding native populations whose land they were taking, because it's difficult to enslave an indigenous population when, you're coming into their lands. They decide the formulation was to transport them, 4,000 miles after enslaving them in Africa and bringing them to the Americas. And, of course, they did it en masse for four centuries. The United States wasn't even the largest, by any means, recipient.
No, most of them, went to South America and the Caribbean.
South Brazil, Caribbean, Spanish South America. But I also had this thought that Greg Grandin, this Yale historian, was on Amy Goodman. I haven't read his book, but he was talking about how Latin America might be a model for international relations because, of course, it was one sort of single colony of the Spanish Empire, although divided into, administrative sections. Mm-hmm. But once the liberation of these Latin American countries occurred by, obviously, Creole rebellions, they had to learn to deal with each other, the Colombians and Venezuelan, mm-hmm. Greater Colombia and Central America, Mexico. Of course, one of the things they learned they needed to do, the Mexican Revolution against Spain, was going nowhere and was bloodily being suppressed. All the founding fathers of independence had their heads on spikes in various Spanish strongholds. And what they realized, the Creole class of Mexico realized, they needed to declare, the end of slavery. And that's when they
unfortunately, we need to. We're just about out of time. We got a couple more callers. I definitely want to get to, but
the frontier mentality of America was always, we can just continue to conquer, going further and further west, and that sort of feeds into the settler colonial mentality.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Excellent discussion there, boy. I'd love that. We need to get you on sometime to talk about South America. Seems like you're extremely knowledgeable about what happened in South America. And look, what's happening today in Venezuela? The United States is like, oh boy, we've got to stop drugs. Really? Peru, a lot of cocaine comes out of there. Nope. Hey, Colombia, a lot of cocaine. That's where all the not interested. Well, wait a minute. There is one country in South America that has the largest oil reserves in the world. Oh, I think we know who needs democracy, doesn't it? It's all about drugs. No, it ain't. It's always about oil. They might as well have said that Iraq had drugs of, what is this? Venezuela's got weapons of mass destruction. They're trying it on Iran now. So now Venezuela, we got to stop those drugs. And by that, they mean steal all their oil. All right, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? We got more callers? We got another caller? Yeah, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Hey, Garland, it's Andrew again.
Okay, Andrew. Oh, good. Great. Glad you made it back. What's happening, Andrew?
Nothing. Like I said, I was just glad to be speaking to you, longtime fan, Sputnik days, all of that jazz. I just wanted to say, it's really embarrassing to be on the left today. It's really embarrassing. People celebrating the death of somebody of a different opinion. Maybe you didn't like their opinion, but it's not a reason to celebrate. Aren't the left supposed to have the moral high ground? That's what I've
been told. You know what? I got to say this. What's the word left mean even anymore? Didn't left used to mean anti-war? Didn't left used to mean suspicious of corporations and anti-corporation and anti-war? And didn't that what it means? Now you got these people calling themselves the left that are more pro than any war, more violent than any, and they call themselves the left. The only thing is, you know, some fairly niche cultural issues, they'll define that as the left, but it ain't anti-war, it ain't anti-violence, it ain't pro-unions, it's none of that stuff anymore that call themselves the left. So I don't even know who the left is anymore, to tell you the truth.
I'm with you. I don't know what I am anymore, because I thought I was super progressive, but there's been so many things that just left me dumbfounded, like, hey, our whole comrades fell for a hoax of Russia because they are useful idiots and we look stupid. And then we are the party of wanting to cut off little girls' breasts and stuff like that. But that's really weird. We are the party of celebrating the death of a political adversary who literally didn't do anything violent to us. That's awesome. I don't know what I am anymore. And it's confusing. I know I don't want war. I know I want to get out of Ukraine. I know I want to get our money out of Israel. I mean, that should be their problem. That shouldn't be our problem.
I don't know what I am anymore. I'll say this, Andrew. I know what I am. I brought this up. When I grew up, my diet, the reason I was introduced to politics was my father was a longshoreman, and he was in the ILA, a longshoreman union. And they were, you know, we've got to fight back, and we got to make sure the corporations that we work for, this company called Cotman Big Company, a huge international a longshoreman company. They had good benefits. They had good retirement because the workers came together and fought for their rights. Right. And that was politics then. And they were opposed to war, and they were wary of big corporations and wary of the government and all that. That was the left that I grew up in. But guess what, Andrew? I didn't change. These other people changed. They changed, and they tried to pretend like they're the left now. No, they're not. The only thing they disagree with the Republicans on is on some social issues. When it comes to war and international piracy and loving the big corporations, they're the same as the Republicans, if not worse.
But it's crazy how Charlie Kirk was more anti-war than these so-called commie leftists. I don't get it. This whole political sphere has been turned upside down, and everything I thought that was is not. And it's the most crazy time to be alive.
Crazy times, man. But the only thing you can do, actually, Andrew, is stand for what you believe in. That's the best we can do, you know. And thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
I just wanted to say that I'm actually in the Seafarers Union. I'm a mariner. So it's pretty awesome to hear that your dad was a longshoreman. It's pretty cool.
Yep. So certainly was. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, I grew up seeing a man get up, you know, in the morning and put on a hard hat and go make an honest living and go on strike every now and then and you know, was politically active. And that's what I thought the left was. Opposition to war. That's what I thought the left was in this country. But I haven't changed. Next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're the last caller. No, that's it. No more callers. All right. Well, then here's what we're going to roll out. I want to thank my main man, Kalia. Anyone, feel free to email me. My email is garlandn@gmail.com. That's how you get in touch with me. And thanks to Kalia. Thank you to all the calls. Robin is coming up next with some great music. And you know what? I decided to go old school. There was a song that came out called Planet Rock. And as a result, a bunch of other people in New York decided, let's come out with something similar to this. And they came out with this kind of music and they called it freestyle. And this was one of the freestyle songs. See if you recognize that freestyle beat. Let's go.
Thank you. party in the house and we'll be rocking tonight. So bring your body with you, baby, that I'll make you feel right. It's a freaky celebration of a natural kind. And the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind. In the house tonight, move your body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock. That's freaks, don't freak and you know what? Freaks, don't freak in the house tonight. Move your body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock. That's freaks, don't freak and you know what? Everybody will be dancing to the beat on the floor. You will encounter situations never thought of before. Satisfaction's guaranteed if you know what I mean. And when you walk into that door, it's such a freaky scene. In the house tonight, move your body from left to right. To all you friends, don't stop the rock. Don't be stuck in the door. Interested in the words I speak. We will be rocking like this every night of the week. And all you fellas, double ladies, don't stop the rock, because you know that we'll be jamming all around the clock. And what did I see? No girls were wearing leather skirts and see-through jeans. I asked the DJ to tell me what was going on. He said, freestyle's having a freak that's on. In the house tonight, move your body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock. A freak that's on. In the house tonight, move your body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock. A freak that's on. We'll be rocking tonight. So bring your body with you, baby, and I'll make you feel right. It's a freaky celebration of a natural kind. And the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind. Don't speak in the mouth tonight. Move your body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock. Will blow your mind. In the house tonight, move your body from left to right. The pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind. Please don't speak in the house tonight. Move your body from left to right. To all you freaks, don't stop the rock.
WPFW Washington, 89.3 FM.